You just tuned into Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan, but you knew that already, didn't you? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, your career, your life. And we're going to do this through what? Chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. You know, I want you to say that right now. I deserve to be successful. You do. Everybody should have success in their life. And as a business person in your career, your personal life, you deserve to be successful, whatever success means to you. Now, if you listen to the show, you know I always start off with a quote, and here's my Set for Success quote for today. There's a dynamic that exists for small business owners that should celebrate and acknowledge, that we should celebrate and acknowledge. That is their accomplishments. We also encourage these winners, or should also encourage these winners, to continue their growth as they embody self-reliance, perseverance, hard work, and optimism. Now, that quote actually comes from Ada Avera, and she's a Puerto Rican businesswoman and politician. She was actually the first Latino woman to hold a United States cabinet position, the administrator or within the administration of the Small Business Administration area. And that was under the Bill Clinton sort of era. So I just thought that was a fascinating sort of hybrid of a quote from her when it comes down to business people overall. Here's the thing. Small business owners never cease to amaze me. From one shop, one person stop to shop to the larger scale operations where they have grown from one person to many people. Having grown up in a family business and owning several companies of my own, I've always admired the accomplishments of the entrepreneur, ever so humble, to who created something from nothing and now contributes to their community at large. One of the facts that is missed, I believe, by the larger institutions, organizations, and sometimes political parties, so this is an opinion, is that the fact that small business in Canada is the backbone of our society by providing real jobs to everyday people, just like you and me, so they can put food on their table, a roof over their head, clothes on their back, to support their family, their friends, themselves, or our society as a whole. It is at that level we should acknowledge and reward the small business person's contribution to our society. They make a difference. You see, in many ways, a small business owner just jumps into the fire, not knowing the things that will work out for them. Everybody, every business owner I have ever known has told me stories of not knowing if they could even pay their bills, what was going to happen next, borrowing from their home or from their families just to keep the lights on while ensuring that they pay their staff and their bills on the business side. As they progress and they become successful, they became free to look at other opportunities, only to sometimes to restart the cycle again. They've expanded the business either organically or through acquisition or providing another service, only to go through that whole business development cycle again until they go from the negative to the positive. As I said, there's always a story when it comes to business that I'm interested in. So here's what we're going to do today. As I gave this show some thought, I wondered who could come and hang out with me and share their thoughts on business, their career, the services that they provide, and the various lessons that they have learned. Someone who has been involved in business and helping their customers, but also helping others in their business and their community. Where there's a story, ever so humble, of an entrepreneur has been there, done that, and is doing more. And this is what we're going to do, and this is who I'm chatting with today. Today, I have the awesome, also well-known, Rob Reed, CEO of Bison Fire Protection on my show today. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Richard.
Yeah, I didn't expect that awesome and
no,
well-known.
No, yeah, and may not be able to get through the door on the way out.
Thank yeah, you. Yeah, I can see your head grow as we're, as we're talking here.
Yeah, I'm turning red.
You're turning red. You know, I joke around a little bit with you, but just before we actually started the show, we were talking about your life on LinkedIn.
Right.
And so you're always posting some stuff on LinkedIn. And so I was just joking for our listeners. I was just joking about Rob and telling him about things that I knew about him from LinkedIn. He's going like, how do you know that stuff?
Right. Yeah.
Let's start there. Let's tell our listeners a bit about you. Who is Rob Reed and Bison Fire Protection?
Okay. Well, Rob Reed is a fourth generation Winnipegger. You know, married, you know, lovely wife, Corrine, at home, and two kids that actually a lot of, some people do know, some don't, that we adopted from Ukraine. And, that's been a very interesting journey for us and our entire family. And, you know, we do all kinds of great things at home. We spend a lot of time at the lake on the weekends. Anyone that knows me knows that I get out to my quiet place.
And yes, you do that quite a lot, actually. Yeah. I see the photos.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the invite, though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you're on the list.
I'm on the list. Fair enough. Smart move.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, and that's kind of, you know, some of Rob at home in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You know, work-wise, obviously, you know, I've owned Bison since 2001 and have grown it from five people, you know, at the time in a small little 1,500 square foot operation to what is now approximately 90 people. We have six branch offices spread out through Manitoba, northwestern Ontario, and into Saskatchewan. So we've taken on quite a footprint over the last number of years. And, you know, we're coming up to our 20th anniversary.
Yeah, and some people would say that that's a very short time span to take on that footprint, right? Because you've done a lot of expansion regionally and a lot of changes and everything, too. When you're working in industry and with your clients, what type of, let's go back and sort of give people an idea of what kind of clients you work with and what kind of services. Because when you look at the name Bison Fire Protection, I mean, that's a pretty big name. To me, could mean a lot of different things.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, our focus is commercial or industrial business. And that means everything from contract work, which is installations of, say, sprinklers and fire alarm and, you know, suppression systems, which when I mean suppression is putting the commercial fire systems into restaurants and places like that, food courts. So when you think about all that sort of stuff, everyone thinks, oh, you know, the construction's so exciting. It is a big part of our business, but it is certainly not the biggest part of our business. We really focus on the service side because once we've put all these things in, we need to be able to go in and service and support them because codes change. You know, who has a TV from the 1970s? Electronics gets old.
Yeah,
so guess
yeah.
what? We have to update fire alarm systems. Water and sprinkler pipes start to rust. You know, codes change. All kinds of things happen to fire systems, which is why they require annual or in some cases semi-annual service. And it's very important for us to be able to get out there and service the customers on a regular basis. And let's keep in mind that most problems don't happen between 9 and 5.
No, they happen in the middle of the night.
Exactly. You know, I mean, 5 o'clock on Saturday just before the wedding starts, that sort of thing,
That's when it happens. I have a business associate of mine who's in a complimentary business, and he always says, yeah, no, most problems don't start until they turn the furnace on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so we'll have a little chat about that one afterwards.
Yeah, for sure, sure. But, you know, like anything, if you take the time to do some preventative maintenance. When you do have to do upgrades, they're nowhere near as expensive as when something has broken because it's been neglected.
Fair enough. So I think what we'll do, Rob, is we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about how you've actually brought your business from five people to 90 people.
Okay.
All right. Be awesome. This is Richard for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome back. I'm hanging out today with Rob Reed, and Rob's was giving us some very interesting ideas and thoughts in terms of his personal life and actually his business. I find your, well, first of all, Rob, I've always found you a very interesting, fascinating person because I know you're more dynamic than just your business. And maybe we can slide some of that stuff in there.
Yeah.
So we'll align our passions, our interests.
Yep,
But we were talking about bringing a business from five people to 90 people in 20 years.
Right.
But to me, that's a significant accomplishment. Mm-hmm. You know. So tell us about that journey and tell us about the mix that's allowed you to sort of bring the business up. Maybe that's a good way to start.
You know what? And it's funny. I look at it as, you know, it's just been a natural growth for us. But, you know, we started off as an extinguisher suppression company, and we did a lot of good work in the restaurants and, you know, commercial kitchens, that sort of thing. And through that time period, what happened is people started coming to us saying, hey, you're in our buildings anyway. Can you take care of our fire alarms?
So okay, fair enough. Okay. Nice organic sort of option. An opportunity opened its doors.
Right, absolutely did. And we were having trouble getting support from outside suppliers. So we said, okay, we're going to start doing this ourselves.
Okay.
And one thing led to another. And, you know, it's funny, we started doing that. You know, a year or two later, people came back to us again and said, hey, you're doing this and this for us. Can you take care of our sprinklers?
Okay.
And we said, sure, all right, we'll do that. We'll start moving into, you know, the sprinkler business, and we started doing inspections and service on the sprinkler systems.
Yeah, so, but always staying to the side, you're always using the words inspections or service, or it always sounds to me like you're staying on the service side.
That's where we were at the time. So, you know, that, you know, as we were growing through that, we'd purchased the operation up in Thompson, which was an acquisition. And, you know, we were growing our business up there. And again, the same thing was coming along. 2010 hits, and we had a couple things happen. First off, we had the opportunity to pick up a new line of fire alarm systems. Siemens had come to our door, and anyone that knows the Siemens products or
the name,
they sell everything.
They're everywhere, global, yeah. Right?
You know, So that came in, a funny story, right? The guy phones me up and says, hey, do you want to be a Siemens distributor? I started laughing. I said, yeah, for sure. And just kind of said, you know, kind of blew him off and hung up the phone and started walking around the office saying, who cracked the joke here? What's going on? Found out it was legit. So, you know, kind of a, oops.
Yeah, go away. Yeah. Could you spell that for me, please?
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, that's transformed now into, you know, roll ahead to where we are today, and we are their second largest distributor in Canada.
That's amazing. Second largest distributor in Canada.
Yeah.
That's quite the accomplishment on their private side. Yeah.
So we're pretty proud of that, and that's taken a lot of work. And again, but that moved us into construction. Remember I talked about construction in the first segment?
Yeah.
You mentioned service, but now we had our service for fire alarm, but now we had the construction side as well.
Well, out of curiosity, maybe this is the right question, maybe not, but what's the big distinction between being in the construction side and the service side? Like, maybe it's more of a challenge question for you when working in both areas.
Well, you know what? You approach the market differently.
Okay, because, that's sort of what I was thinking.
You know what? I mean, let's face it. Service side, you're dealing with the end users. I'll use your building here as an example. I have to go to the property manager and talk to them and, you know, get them to accept a quote to go in and do all the work. And service it as it goes. From a construction side, I have to chase general contractors, electrical contractors, engineers, all the way through the system to make sure that they are happy with, first off, with our product, that it'll meet the spec that they want. But beyond that, they also want to make sure that we can do the job. And that's a big deal, because I don't want to be halfway through a project and find out that we can't measure up. Because you can imagine if a company suddenly wasn't able to perform, what does that do to their project? And how do they look to their customer, who is the end user? And how do they look to the engineers that they've been working with? So reputation is everything.
Everything. I often hear you use the word fit. And you and I have had this dialogue several times where you'll say, well, you know, I'm interested in doing this. I'm interested in doing this. Or I've been asked to do this or that. And the first word that comes out of your mouth, well, does this fit with who I am or what the company is? And how does that work together? Mm-hmm. Could you maybe speak to our listeners a bit about that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it has to align with what we're trying to do, you know, as a brand. And, you know, our purpose, and the purpose with Bison Fire is to make the world a safer place.
Yeah, nice, right? Clean purpose, right?
Absolutely. Perfect. And, you know, you don't need the missions, you don't need the visions, all those statements. You need a purpose. You need to give a people why. We have to make sure, and we protect that, and we build our culture around it, you know, making the world a safer place.
Yeah, which is your mission. My mission and purpose are the same thing.
You know what? Yeah. And that means to me that if I'm doing something out there, how does it make the world a safer place? Mm. How does it bring my staff where we want to go to meet that mission, to meet that purpose? So it has to fit.
Yeah, it's interesting. You and I are sort of the same on this one, is where simple words or simple phrases are the best to align your purpose. Mm-hmm. So mine is to invest in the success of others,
right. Period.
Nice and clean and straight, mm-hmm. right? And as long as within my own company, if we're doing that and we're in line with that, then everything is good. Mm-hmm. At the point in time where we step outside of that or work with, and this is where I was going with your thing, right? Make the world a safer place, right? Mm-hmm. If you're working with another vendor or something along that lines that doesn't fit with that, how does that impact your business?
Well, I mean, if I'm using, say, a substandard product.
Yeah.
Okay. Have I made the world a safer place by putting in something, a weaker product? Absolutely not. When it comes to my people, have I trained them to work on our products, to understand fire code, to understand the construction business, to have project managers so that we're moving things through properly? If I'm investing in them, am I making the world a safer place?
Yeah.
You know, but I can go so much deeper with this. You think about, how do we run our internal processes? So if our internal machine is running really well.
Your operations of your business, operationally speaking.
So what do I have more time to do? I have more time to be in front of the customers, working with them. And again, all of that ties back to making the world a safer place.
Right on.
So like I say, the important part of a purpose is the why.
Yeah.
And I can speak to that, and I have to make that part of everything we do every day.
Literally, you have to prove it every mm-hmm. single day.
Yeah, and I need the staff buying in on it.
So I think what we'll do is we're going to take a short break, Rob, but I think when we come back, well, maybe we'll talk a little bit about some of the things, lessons you've learned from expanding your business. And I'd also talk to you a little bit about maybe certification and stuff too.
Sure,
Because I know I've watched a few of your videos online, and I think you did one on that. So I want to
a big challenge in the industry that it would be great to get out there.
Yeah, so maybe we'll talk a bit about that too. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hey, I'm hanging out with Rob Reed today. I always like to give the man compliments, basically just by the stories you tell, Rob, are just often excellence. One of the things we just sort of were talking a bit about is sort of growth and expansion. If I understand correctly, now you've expanded through several means, and other business owners could do the same thing. So maybe there's a little bit of lessons learned in there for them. Often we hear there's all sorts of ways to expand your business, right? Organic growth, acquisition, increased sales activity, increased marketing activity. Like there's all sorts of things. And over the 20 years, you've actually grown your business. So what's been the magic sauce for Rob?
You know what? You say that.
I like to bug you.
Yeah. You know what? And I like the challenge, but there's no magic sauce to it. Honestly, you know, we've grown through acquisitions in some areas.
Yeah.
We've grown through organic growth in other areas.
Yeah. When you say organic growth, I know that some people actually won't know what that means. Okay. What do you mean by organic
growth? What I mean is, as opposed to, and I'll use Brandon or Regina, both those areas as an example, we put technicians in place because we had enough business that we were sending people there regularly. Mm. So it was, you know what? Let's get you there permanently. Start putting up bricks and mortar and start growing into that area and developing it further. And we've done that in those two areas as an example, which is very different from, say, our Thompson office that was an acquisition.
Yeah.
So we moved into an existing business, took it over, and bisonized it, for lack of...
Bisonized it. I love it. Bisonized it.
And so, like I say, so when I'm talking about organic growth, that's what I mean there. But keep in mind, not every acquisition is a good one.
Yeah.
Sometimes the right choice is to say no. I've had people approach me to buy different companies, and you start going through it, and we talked about fit earlier.
Yeah.
And is this company going to be a fit? Do they have what we need, or is there enough there for us to even take it on? And I can say probably I've walked away from five or six opportunities because the right decision was no.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm curious, and you can answer this. This is one of those questions that hopefully for other business owners. I meet entrepreneurs all the time, right? Mm-hmm. I get privileged to interview them.
Yeah.
I also get the privilege to work with them as clients.
You're
honestly
making me jealous. Yeah. I'd love to do the same.
Oh, really? Well, we can talk. I need help in some areas. I'm always surprised that, you know, when you talk about ways of acquiring a business or growing a business, they're not too sure how to do it sometimes, you know? And I'm going to ask you more of a financing question, okay?
Right.
When you look at growth and acquisition or growing organically in that, how do you think about the financial side of the business?
Okay.
And it's a pretty big question, right?
That is.
Financing and how to finance growth.
Well, and I mean, let's face it, acquisitions is simple. You do a business plan. I mean, it's not simple, but it is.
Simple. Rob's got a lot of experience here. That's why I'm asking the question.
You know, you put together a plan. You understand what they're looking for. You then approach, if you need the financing, and more often than not when you're acquiring, you do.
You need the finance.
So you need to be able to sit down with your financial institution. And I talk so often about how you need partnerships in business.
Yeah.
And a lot of your partnerships beyond suppliers are your bank, your lawyers, your accountants, you know, the people that support you as you're going, so that when you walk in with the bank, they already know who you are. They know what you're going to do, why you're going to do it. And when you come in prepared and you say, this is the why, and this is what I need, and all the good stuff, they sit down and they look it over and go, yeah, you know what? You're right. Here you go. Here's some money.
Here's some money. You make it sound so
simple. Please give it
so
back.
So simple.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. One time I had another business person say, you know, how have you grown the business that way? And I said, you know, honestly, I just talk to people.
Yeah.
And he says, no, really. And I said, no, it's that simple. Talk to people, sit down, share your ideas, share your vision,
yeah,
but talk to them, you know. If I walked into the bank cold, they didn't know who I was, or I always took that adversarial approach of, well, I'm paying all this interest and you bandits are taking this money from me. Guess what? My journey through this would be so much more difficult.
Yeah.
But when it's a partnership, when you're working with them, when they're part of your team, it is so much easier.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. And my thought on that one is everybody's looking for a meaningful conversation, mm-hmm. right? Like when you walk away from a conversation as a good conversation, you feel awesome, right? Yeah. I mean, even if it's a bad conversation, yeah. you can go, oh, that was pretty good. That was a bad guy. I did learn something from that, you know? and the other piece I hear you say in that is that, you know, everybody, and this is the way I often think about it, is everybody wants to be met on their own ground.
Right.
Right. So,
100%.
Right. You know, and is that communication skill? You know how to work with the person on the way that they communicate.
Right. Right.
And I like to throw that stuff in because I talk to people about that all the time.
Oh, but you're so right. Yeah. You know, you have to be able to have the conversations that are meaningful in that situation.
Now, I'm going to just flip switches a little bit here.
Okay.
I was watching one of your videos on LinkedIn. You've been doing all these videos on LinkedIn.
Right.
And
yeah.
Stuff,
it's my show. The YouTube show, it's called Into the Fire.
Into the Fire, yes. Yeah. And yes, I did quote it at the monologue too, yeah. just to make you smile.
Oh, you did.
I think I saw a show on certifications in the industry. Is that correct? I don't remember
yes.
the title of it.
You're
and,
right,
and
yeah.
You did
and
one.
The theme of the show was around something that happened a couple times over the last 2 years. Couple years ago, there was a company out in Toronto that was caught doing work that they weren't properly set up to do. And more recently, just earlier this year, a company in Calgary, and this had a wider approach to it where it went into Saskatchewan and now it's reaching into Manitoba because that company did work in these areas. Now, they were using people that weren't certified to do the work. They weren't licensed to do certain things. And after a very long investigation, I think it was 65 or 68 charges were laid.
Wow.
But not just against the company. They went deeper than that. They went after technicians who weren't doing their jobs and knowingly weren't doing their jobs correctly or in an uncertified manner. They also went after the clients.
Okay, really?
So when you think of a big company that brings somebody like us in, the onus is on them to make sure that we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is life safety protection equipment. We have to make sure it's working. You know, a quickie inspection just to get somebody a certificate or a tag on something doesn't work because you can't bring someone back.
Yeah, because people's lives are at stake, right?
100%.
Because because you're into the fire protection and suppression. Is it okay for me to use the word suppression?
Yeah.
Fires take lives.
They do.
Right? And that's the piece there.
Well, it's so, you know, not just the lives, but you think how many businesses, and we talked about this in one of the Into the Fire shows, that 80% fail after the first 2 years. So many of them never even get going again after a devastating fire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the doors just closed. Yeah. So maybe they didn't have the right insurance or all their money was tied up. I mean, there's just so many variables, right?
And that's ruined lives in an entirely different way.
Yeah. It's very different in that respect. So that show talked about different levels of certification and everything. Mm-hmm. But you've also done other shows too. And I apologize, I don't have a list, but is there any that you'd like to sort of talk about a little bit or is there one that pops to mind?
You know, we cover all kinds of different topics because, you know, the show isn't about fire protection. We do three segments and, you know, at the end we want to have what we call our takeaways. And there's the three takeaways. One of them is the fire protection takeaway, but we also do a business takeaway. How does the theme of the show apply to business?
Well, yeah, that's what interests me more, right? Because when I first started watching, I'm going, oh, fire stories.
Yeah.
No, business stories, right?
Yeah. And that was important to be able to give those business takeaways. And then, of course, there's the life lessons part of it, which to me is also important because so much of this stuff applies. And Richard, you know this. What you learn in business and how you deal with people can apply in the
everywhere.
Home lives.
Oh, my gosh. You know, to your kids, to your home lives,
everything.
To your friends, to everything.
Yeah.
And with that thought in mind, we're going to take a short break, Rob, and maybe we'll come back and talk about some of those lessons learned.
Absolutely.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, all. I'm hanging out with Rob Reed today, and Rob is the CEO of Bison Fire Protection, and he's been giving us some insight into his experience as being an entrepreneur, as 20 years ago, sort of a startup entrepreneur, and then his going from, you know, 5 people to 90 people, I think it was, you said, Rob?
That's right.
And then just sort of some of the ways that he did it, and he wouldn't quite give us his magic sauce or, you know, his special sauce, but we were all really close to getting it. I don't know. He said there wasn't one. I'm not sure. I think it's written down somewhere and kept in your back pocket.
Was it? Well, you know, I mean, the Colonel never gave you his 11 herbs and spices either. Right?
That's right. That's right. So there it is. So the truth is out there. No,
I'm joking.
I know. We both know business is a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And what works for one person doesn't work for the other.
That's right.
You know, and different markets and stuff like this. I mean, mm-hmm. There's a lot of variables that come in place. Last segment, I got to start to talk to you a little bit about your YouTube show and everything, and I've started to watch that a little bit and that. But you mentioned that it's not just about fire protection, but there's like business stories there, there's life stories there, right. Those kind of things. And can you maybe share something with us?
Well, absolutely. One of our earlier shows, the theme was around the dangers of distraction.
Yeah, and there's always lots of distractions.
Lots
in life,
of
right?
distractions. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're fortunate, you know, as we're sitting here, that there's not a lot of distractions in the room other than each other. But when you start thinking about this, and I talked about it on the show, from a business point of view, the distractions being I'm working away at my desk, I'm, you know, or like yourself, doing a show presentation, getting something together, and someone comes in the room and says, "Hey, boss, guess what I just did?" You know, and they want to share their excitement.
Yeah, they're there, right?
And
yeah.
You want to be part of the excitement, of course, but you know, you're in the middle of writing something or filling out a tender or whatever the heck you happen to be working on, but you're distracted and you lose that flow that you had.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of a business distraction that, you know, you have to monitor your time and you have to be able to look at someone and say, you know what, let me finish this. I'll be with you in a minute. You're important. What you have to say is important. You know, but let me finish what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then from there, I extrapolated that. So what is a danger of a distraction, say, at home? And so for those people that, say, have a backyard fire pit and they're burning something up and they're getting rid of leaves or whatever it happens to be, and the kid comes around the backyard and, hey, Daddy, guess what? The dog ran off and I need some help.
Mm, yeah.
Do you leave the fire unattended or do you go after the dog?
Yeah. Yeah. Which one?
Well, that's why you're always prepared ahead of time. Do you have the garden hose right there? Do you have an extinguisher nearby? Deal with the fire. Go get the dog.
Deal. <yeah.
laughs> You don't want to come back and find that you have a black hole that used to be your house.
Maybe your house, yeah. And maybe the dog jumped
in. But you've got the dog at least.
Dog, right? Yeah. No, I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, how often, and we talk about distraction in many ways, mm-hmm. because in our world, even if we use media or if we use communications, right, mm-hmm. or communication technologies, right, just the amount of distraction that happens, everything from smartphones to telephones, to just, you know, email, whatever devices, right?
100%.
You know, we always have something going on and something we can always go after. You made a very interesting point about time. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the distraction flow, you know, track your time.
Right.
You know, and there's one fellow that I work with, and if you're listening, I won't say your name, but I always like what he says. He says, you know, I tell all of my employees, the only thing that you can manage is your
time.
That's it.
100%,
right?
Yeah.
And I think that's always a really good sort of lessons learned to bring people. Even in my industry, I come from the consulting side, so right. I share my stories too, right?
Yeah.
But one of the very first lessons I learned on day one, first day of work, and that was like over 30 years ago now, so I even have to admit that now, but my boss brought me into my office and sat me down. It was a shared office, and first thing he showed me was my timesheet.
Right, yeah. Right? Here you go.
Because in the consulting industry.
Yeah.
And so the first thing you did was you put 15 minutes into this, 1 hour into mm-hmm. this, right? But you end up building when mm-hmm. and I have that kind of discipline. So when you end up doing that, you end up discovering that, oh my gosh, throughout your life, you sort of know where you spent your time.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But you think too, from a business point of view, to analyze your business, being able to analyze your lost production time, what does that cost? Hmm. You know, think about an employee that's working at, say, 80% efficiency. And to get above 80, pretty tough.
Yeah, it is.
Truthfully.
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's probably a good mark to shoot for. But if you've got 50% efficiency, you know, that's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. That's
you almost need two people to do one job.
To do one job, right?
And so again, that's where that time management and not just individually, but as a management team, you have to be able to go back to those reports and say, where are we losing time? How are we using our time? And then find those efficiencies. You know, we talk about CIs in business.
CIs?
Continuing improvements.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when you start looking at, for all those things, you can find, you know, lots of hours that could be used better. And I actually talked about this in one of the Into the Fire shows about, you know, how we had used a report that was being generated, and it took 4 hours for the guy to be able to generate this report. And so we went back and said, well, we need, first off, better information. And we did this and that. And, you know, kind of a group of them went off and worked on it. They came back 2 weeks later and said, boss, look at this. We can give you the report in 2 hours. No, I'm sorry. We can give you the report back in 15 minutes, not 4 hours.
Yeah.
And we've got this, we've got this, this, yeah, and, you know, four or five other pieces of information that they, because they went analyzed and worked on it in continuous improvement, CI, you know, talk about a time saver and talk about value from that report now.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's from my world, we call them KPIs, key performance indicators.
Right.
Right. And often the ratios that are required or need that you need as a business owner or a management team, the business intelligence, if you want to use some other words, that you need to be able to make key decisions.
Absolutely.
And you need that at your fingertips.
I agree. And I see them almost as two separate things.
Okay.
You know, KPIs, you know, they tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
CIs make your KPIs more effective.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So there you go. Right. So where you look at it from there.
Yeah.
That's a really great lesson learned. I wanted to just sort of jump back a little bit because I know that you've grown organically and I know that you've grown through acquisitions. Having come in, having worked in that kind of world, I mean, there's usually a lot of challenges, right?
Oh, for sure.
What are some of the things that maybe where you are right now today in terms of, you know, out of all of that growth, and you still grow organically, right?
Of course.
But all of that growth and everything's happened. So what are some of the things you're focused on today that, that you see that's very important for other businesses maybe to focus in on?
Well, okay, great question. Because we did, you know, we shot up real quick.
You did.
And so some of the things we did, of course, you always hear people talking about, you know, growth and managing growth.
Yes.
And we had to go back and start, I'll say, not rebuilding, but shoring up or strengthening our infrastructure behind it to make sure that we could support what we, our growth. And that's taken some work, but we've done it. And, you know, setting ourselves up for our, maybe our next level of growth, if that's what we choose to do.
Yeah, standardization maybe through that area. There's this thing called maturity levels in business. Are you familiar with them?
Yes.
Yeah. And so in a way, you're at one maturity, but then you want to get to another maturity level. Mm-hmm. But part of that maturity is that standardization or that stabilization that you're talking or shoring up.
Yeah, processes and procedures. Things that worked with 15 people, and I talked about this at a presentation one time, things that work with 15 people don't work with 30 or don't work with 50 because you're not together in the same room having the same conversations every day. So you need process and procedures.
Yeah, standards.
You know, you talk about people, process, tools.
Yeah.
And I will always say your people are your most important part because people will get you through bad process and bad tools.
Yeah.
But the best processes and the best tools in the world will not replace good people.
Won't work.
Yeah.
Rob, you're an awesome guest. You know, like I could hang out with you probably all day long, you know, and I would just have a great full conversation, you know, relationship, business, people, it'd be just awesome.
Thanks.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
You know, it's fairly easy. You can call us at the office at 204-237-3473 is the phone number. You can reach us online, which may be easier, is bisonfire.com.
Yeah, so that's a good one. So there's two phone numbers and the website bisonfire.com. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rob, thank you for joining me on Set for Success today. And for our listeners, I always appreciate it when you tune in, you know, and if you have a thought, an idea, a question regarding the show, heck, if you just want to connect with me, just richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.